Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And yeah, man, I feel like I just got done talking to you. I did.
You know you love me.
Talking to I no. Anyways, guys, this is gonna be a real quick episode about the DC announcements that just happened today / yesterday. By the time you're watching this, hello everybody, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts from. Hit the red subscribe button. Give us a follow if you're listening to us on the apps, the podcast apps. And, of course, check out lrmonline.com every day for entertainment news, needs, opinions. And I'm Kyle. That's Manny. And DC's big announcement came earlier than we had jokingly said. And you and I could hop on real quick and record. So here we are, guys. James Gunn has made some huge announcements. I just watched the majority of the video, but Manny's going to kind of go through a quick list of what's coming out, and then we'll talk about some of the interesting things he said. So, Manny, what do we got going on, man?
8 Batman movies, and no, I'm just kidding. So the first thing we got to point out is Viola Davis's Amanda Waller has survived everything, and what the hell, she has survived 2 different types of Suicide Squads, I think 3 different regimes now as far as Warner Brothers executives, and now her character is getting her own show. That's the power of Viola Davis, and that's the power of Amanda Waller. And don't be surprised if by the end of year 8 she's actually the main villain. Anyway, I'm just joking. Real quick, I know we're trying to make this quick. So everything's connected, basically. That's the big point. This 8 to 10 year project that they're working on, everything is connected. You have TV, you have movies, and you have video games. An interesting thing that he said is that some of these characters will be jumping on from live action to animated back and forth with the same actors voicing them and playing them, which is really interesting, and I think really bold, because you know, contracts happen and people happen, and
not only that, but not every voice acting is very different from in-person acting.
I get that, so, but I'm sure that the first thing is make sure he could do the live action. And then the other thing, the questions asked to the films that are going forward, meaning the ones that were already kind of being worked on, let's say Matt Reeves' Batman, Joker's sequel, those are Elseworld stories that do not exist within.
And he even said Teen Titans Go is an Elseworld story as well, which was funny. So,
which means Teen Titans Go is going to continue on, which, you know, you and I love Teen Titans Go.
Yes.
Fun. So it's super fun. So, you know, it's interesting because he really dug into the well of characters that mixing up with very well-known characters for their first phase, which they are calling Gods and Monsters. And he made it clear that these projects that they announced is not the entire chapter, but it's what they could announce from today. The biggest movie, I'd say, is going to be Superman Legacy, which they even gave a date for, July 11th, 2025, which to him says marks the start of the DCU. And it won't be an origin story, but it's kind of that middle ground between him trying to figure out his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing. So I'm guessing like maybe like late Smallville vibes, maybe. What do you think? Something like that?
I'm not thinking necessarily Smallville. It kind of just, I think we're going to, I think Spider-Man Homecoming. He's been
something like
Superman's,
that, maybe.
Yeah, Superman's been doing it for a bit, but he's not he's not Superman, he's super young adult.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe at this point he's kind of figuring out that he needs to be a superhero, or maybe wants to, or doesn't know how. And then by the end of the movie, he'll have found as Cable's, what is it, was it called, the shoot, I can't even remember what his
Fortress of Solitude.
Fortress of Solitude, thank you. I kept wanting to call it Cave of Wonders, Aladdin. And so I think by the end of that, he'll talk to his dad and whatever, and you know, he'll be the Superman we all love and adore, or at least the beginnings of. The next movie, feature film that I talked about is really interesting.
Oh, and by the way, I'm bringing up the rap. They're one of the lucky ones that was probably at that event yesterday. So they already had their piece pre-written. LRM's piece will be up long before you guys see this episode. But yeah, anyways, go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah. So to kind of backtrack just a bit, because I know that he says that Superman movie is really the start of the DCE, the new DC studios or DC films, but he did make a fact that The Flash is going to reset the multiverse.
Yeah, and there was one of the first things he said was about Shazam, and he's Shazam. Like, Shazam's always kind of been in his own thing, so that connects. Was that mm-hmm. him confirming Shazam is staying? Like, it'll be
probably
what's his name?
Yeah,
that was a vague statement, right? That connects.
The thing is, I can also see the thing is that with Shazam, either way, those kids are getting older, a lot older, mm-hmm. and so you only have one or two movies, maybe left, one movie left with them, and after that, the only thing I can see going forward is Zachary Levi coming in to do cameos, you know, already as Shazam.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if it'll work to continuously bring on the kids, because they're going to be much older, and this is an 8 to 10 year project. So that's what I think will happen. And I'm really interested to see how supposedly Aquaman connects, because he did mention that as well. And that, how mm-hmm. that's going to wrap up. It'll be interesting to see. With that said, he also, you know, talked about Blue Beetle and how, you know, that's kind of like the origin story, and that's gonna stay put. That's, you know, that's in his wheelhouse of type of characters anyway. So I think it's gonna be fine.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
The one that was really interesting was The Authority. That one I did not expect. That is that was put together in the 1992 Wildstorm comics, mm-hmm. which are really popular actually in
Jesus Cat.
Like, if you're into comic books, Wildstorm was a big thing. The creators always talk about how much fun they had doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because a lot of creators came together to put that together. And so The Authority was created by Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch. Love Warren Ellis's work, so this is pretty cool. Basically, it's heroes. They're like kind of like Peacemaker, mm-hmm. But not to that extreme. Basically, it is they do what it takes to get the job done, and they don't have that Superman or Batman line of morality.
They're definitely on the side of general good, but they're willing to do bad things to make it happen. Not like Suicide Squad, which are people that are still bad and just willing to do a good thing for their own benefit.
Yeah, Saffron called it, and I quote him, they're kind of like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
there you go.
So that's that is interesting, because I wonder what other characters actually they'll be going up against, because obviously the line of morality is going to be challenged. In order to challenge that, you do have to have the full goody-goody characters So I wonder what other DC characters would be introduced there. Probably kind of lesser heroes, maybe, or I don't know. But it's an interesting, it's a bold choice to go, to go with characters like that, introducing them. Speaking of bold, the next movie that they talked about was The Brave and the Bold, which will be the DCU official Batman, which is the story of Batman and Robin. Yep. So,
the fourth Robin, Damian, his child,
his actual son. Yeah.
Yeah. Damian was the fourth. Cause you had, no, he would be the fifth. Did he come before or after the girl?
So, but the girl's technically when he's old. So, I mean, what do you want? How do you want to play this?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so, yeah, you have, yeah, no, he would be the fourth because,
Tim, Dick and, Jason were the first three, and then technically it would be Damian by timeline, but Miller wrote Dark Knight Returns before Damian became a Robin, if I'm
whichever
not mistaken
one. Yeah,
either way, yeah,
but there's a Robin a dozen.
There you go.
So it is based on a Grant Morrison run. Which, take it as you will, like if you like Morrison or not, I think it's, you know, pretty good. And then so yeah, that's our new Batman. That's the DCU Batman, not Pattinson. No casting, of course, for anyone has been.
How do you feel about them skipping all of the other Robins and just putting them with Damian already? And that means your Batman in universe is going to be a little, you know, you're going to have a middle-aged Batman, as which I have no issues with at all. But there was this idea or this thing like floating around that all the characters would be younger. You're not going to have a and he's not going to be running around with a 10-year-old Robin. I'm expecting him to be teenaged years, so Batman would have to be well into his 30s, early 40s, right? I don't know. Point being is how do you feel about it being Damian and not any of the other Robin characters?
So here's what I love about that. I don't have to wait to possibly get Nightwing or Red Hood. That's what I love about it. It's that I can immediately have those characters. I don't have to get Dick Grayson as a Robin and then wait for him to go through this whole thing where he's going
to get to Nightwing.
No, the point is he can just insert Nightwing wherever. People love Nightwing. Lightwing could be a feature film on its own. I think it might work better as a HBO series because you can have Nightwing in I always forget the town where he that he moves to, but you can have him do his own thing. You can have him leading the Titans, the Young Justice. You can have Red Hood as a bad guy. You can have you can almost even have just a solo. I know, and I personally do not want to see any more Joker. Of course, we're going to get more Joker. Like, that's just, it's just how it is. Joker sells, unfortunately. You can even just have you could do a Red Hood movie. A Red Hood movie would be really good because everybody loves that story. It is a very, very powerful story, which the animated movie did very, very well already anyway. So that's what I do like about it, is that I can also have established rogues where you could just throw in somebody that he's already fought, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's just because you know the Batman rogues the same way you know the Spider-Man rogues, the Sinister Six, you know the main the villains in Batman. No origin stories needed. And then also, like, all your heroes can't be that young and naive. Like, you need a character to ground everyone, and in this case, a seasoned Batman to kind of rein in. Do a better job at reining in a Superman, better than, of course, than what was done with the Snyderverse, where it was just like, you know, hopefully they don't have to say their mom's name in order to get along.
Yeah.
But you can see that he can be that head of the Justice League that you need, that's got the experience, basically. That's the good part of it. And then the other next movie, which is based on Tom King's run, a friend of the comic source, friend of ours. We've hang out with him many, many times. I'm going to throw that out there, of course. which is based off of Woman of Tomorrow. So the next one is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is going to show you the contrast between Superman, who was born on Earth, loving parents, versus Supergirl.
He wasn't born on Earth.
Raised on Earth versus Kara, who saw her planet explode, basically. And how her character's jaded because of that, and kind of you see that difference in it. And it's weird because Gunn says could call Supergirl much more hardcore than what King series was. And also Crypto the dog. We all love Crypto, and he's not voiced by The Rock. And then probably one of the things I am most excited for, because he's one of my favorite characters, if you don't like it, I don't care. It was one of the things that I was most upset with when the regime changed, was Swamp Thing. That was becoming such a good series, and then they canceled it and changed the ending and made it really, really bad. Swamp Thing, you're going to see some of his dark origins, and then you're going to be able to I don't know. I think Swamp Thing already has a pretty good following as far as if you know DC, and especially because you know that can lead to things like Justice League Dark and things like that. He could also do funny things where just show up in random plants to listen in on people, because he's technically, he's Earth. He's very, very powerful. Recently you've been able to see that him, Poison Ivy, they're actually really powerful because of the way that they can manipulate Earth, and they can use the green, as they call it, to really do a lot of stuff. And to see a darker side, just to get like a horror movie out of this, kind of, that'd be really, really cool. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, it's one of the things everyone kind of sort of wanted to see it go down that route. I know that the series had been doing good until the sell to was that when AT&T spun it off to someone else, or was that when
AT&T got it,
bought it? Yeah. All of that changed up, man. It's freaking DC's like a cheap prostitute getting handed around all over the place.
I'll tell you that.
No, they weren't actually cheap. Everything that they announced is relatively interesting. Some of it's surprising. They don't explicitly say certain things. You hear the Flash resets the whole DCU. Does that mean Sasha Kaye continues playing Supergirl? You would have figured he would have said something like that. There's still so much that is unknown other than these titles, which might be actually a really, really good thing. It might be the smartest thing that they do, is being vague, especially with casting, because as you and I have mentioned before, carrying over certain things from this previous universe, regardless of how connected it is, like Shazam, still comes with a bit of baggage. And the Amanda Waller stuff and the Peacemaker stuff, I'm still curious as to how all of that plays out, how all of that is DCU versus Elseworlds. But we finally have some things. One thing we didn't mention, Lanterns.
Oh, well, that's because that's a television. We didn't get to.
Oh, okay. You were just doing movies at first. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Well, then let's jump to TV.
All right. I'll try to go through it pretty quick. Creature Commandos, which is actually really cool because it features like Frankenstein and monsters teaming up to fight Nazis in World War II. Who doesn't like that kind of stuff?
And that's going to be animated, which is really, really cool.
The animation looks pretty interesting. I don't know if that's the kind of animation, but that's just the drawing we got. But so it's going to feature Rick Flagg's father, Rick Flagg Sr., as far as Weasel also, who was kind of fun in Suicide Squad. And so that's where he did mention that some of these characters can show up also in live action, played by the same actor.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be jumping up and down. The one we talked about that we were making fun of in the beginning is Waller. Apparently, season 2 of Peacemaker has been kind of put on hold for the moment. Maybe they're trying to decide what they're going to do with that. But in place of that, it will be Waller, which is going to be basically the team with Peacemaker, but with Waller as a continuation to that show. And then we'll see where that goes. I mean, Like, honestly, I've always liked Waller as what I mean, Viola Davis as Waller, but I that's kind of biased because I like her in almost every role.
Yeah,
I think she's a fantastic actress. She kills it. So hell, I liked it when Angela Bassett played Waller for one movie. That movie had some good casting.
She did. Which movie was that?
The Green Lantern.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that movie had great casting. It just had terrible choices.
Terrible writing, too.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, Lanterns is the next show we'll talk about, which is going to be like a true detective show that they're doing. That's going to feature both Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart and other Lanterns, which, of course, if you're part of the Green Lantern Corps, you're going to run into other Lanterns. Like, it's just what's going to happen. Saffron said that this was very important to them. And this is going to go on HBO Max, I believe so. Huge HBO quality event. And this is different from what Greg Berlanti was working on. That is no longer moving forward because they say Greg's vision was more of a space opera. And their vision is more of a terrestrial-based investigation story. So basically, buddy cop movie, but I don't know, maybe darker.
Maybe, yeah.
And then following the vein, because people love those kind of stories and HBO is great with them, Paradise Lost, which is a story of political intrigue behind a society of all women. So how did it all come together? The origin of the island, the women,
the memes
and all that stuff. Yeah, I know. So it's funny because like out of all this stuff, right? Like people are going to hyper focus on this and be like, why are they doing a show all about women? It's like, well, there's also all these other shows too and movies and stuff like it's one show. Relax.
I'm just thinking of like when an entire island's period sync up.
You know what? Like I wasn't gonna say that out loud. I was not gonna say that out loud. But since you did, I'm just gonna.
Like I said, the memes for this are just gonna be great.
Yeah. So it's kind of based around Paradise Island Lost, the comic series by Will Jimenez and George Perez. It directly does somehow involve Wonder Woman. How it does, we're not too sure. And then finally, another not really obscure character because he's a fan favorite and people have been begging for him for a long time. This might even be just kind of a fan choice where it's like, you know, do a Booster Gold. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Booster Gold. Which it'll be more of a comedy thing, which I mean he should be. I mean, just kind of an outcast, 25th century nobody who becomes a super former football star that becomes a super. And I'm saying nobody as a superhero because he has imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And
he's kind of like a more good guy version of Mysterio, but it's not just illusions. He can actually do stuff with his future tech, but he's not a superhero, so to speak.
Yeah, so basically that's it. Apparently they have left the door open for Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, Ezra Miller, and Zachary Levi to continue to play their characters. That's what Variety is reporting. I haven't seen that anywhere else. I didn't hear it from anyone else.
Part of the vagueness. Maybe they're inferring that the door's open because it's kind of vague. I don't know.
To be fair, we haven't seen everything also, because he said this is not all part of the phase one. There's a lot more to come. But you guys wanted something by the end of January, so here you go.
and we got it. People seem to be excited about it on Twitter.
And then the last thing I'll say is that they did say that their plan was to roughly release 2 films and 2 series per year in the DCU.
I think that's a good plan, relatively. It saves a lot of the headaches that Marvel went through when they were like, no, we're going to do like 3 or 4 movies, 3 or 4 shows every year from here to eternity. And then it all just went to shit.
The thing is, I think they have a really good backbone now with the fact that they can rely on the fact that, like, for example, Marvel is just Marvel, and it's really banking on these shows, whereas HBO now is kind of like, yeah, you could take a little bit longer. We have a couple more properties that are going to hold us over. And also, investors kind of want to see that big plan overarching feel. So now it's like, and also it's going to include everyone. So everyone's getting a piece of that action. And you don't have to supplement rides and a ton of merchandise. You already have films that are coming out. You already have series that are coming out. You still have the final season of Doom Patrol and the final season of Titans. You have three films this year. So, yeah.
All right. Well, guys, Manny's got to actually go do the day job thing. And I need to go record some anime stuff for here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Hit the red subscribe button if you haven't already. I don't have the stuff on screen, but you know what we got? We got anime. We got Star Wars. We have Marvel. We have Daily Cog. We have Breaking Geek Radio. We got a lot of great stuff. If it's not a reaction video, it goes up on the podcast apps, wherever you get those from. Wherever you get your podcast from, you get the apps from the App Store. And of course, LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Let us know what the project you're most excited for is in the comments below. And Manny, anything else?
Spay and neuter your pets. That's kind of a classic one.
What? Bye, guys.